Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Monday, March the 12th, 2012. Congratulations to the organizers of the Tucson Festival of Books. What a huge success. 100,000 people really puts the festival now in the top five of book festivals across the country. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show, now in its 10th month here on KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and the Voice Network stations KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show. It's streaming right now at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and you can also hear our program anywhere, anytime in the world at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. We launch today, as we do every Friday, with the Monday political face-off, with the Monday political face-off, featuring one of our two teams of commentators. And you know what I say, each says that they are the A team. And the team today, Bruce Ash to the right of me and Paul Eckerstrom to the left. Then at 30 minutes past the hour, Jody Bain, the chair of the Rio Nuevo Board, and Rick Grinnell, board member, will be with us. 45 minutes past the hour, we'll chat with the chairman and CEO of the Tucson company named the 2011 Arizona Small Business Exporter of the Year. Roger Vogel is the chair of Vante Incorporated. We'll find out what Vante manufactures and find out about them. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Every Monday, we kick things off with the Monday Political Face-Off. Today, it's Bruce Ash, the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. He is the current vice chair of the Dems locally. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bruce and Paul, hope you each had a beautiful weekend.
Sure did. And if I can amplify for just a moment on your comments about the Tucson Festival of Books, it was a great event. And I know both Bruce and Bill, they're very close personal friends. And this is quite an accomplishment. This is actually the second major event that Bill Viner has started, because he and his wife Brenda started the Fort Lowell Shootout, kids soccer tournament.
Yeah,
that's really grown into a huge, huge event.
Did not know that.
And Bruce Beach is really wonderful. One of the finest citizens in all of Southern Arizona. He is a real community guy, and I'm proud that he's a friend.
I had a great weekend. My daughter, speaking of soccer, played in a soccer tournament up in Phoenix, and they won the tournament, so that was great.
Fantastic. Well, as you heard me, Bruce and Paul, promoting, Jody Bain and Rick Grinnell will be with us at 30 minutes past the hour. And one of the questions I will be asking them, and like both of you to weigh in on this, is public mediation the answer to this dispute between the Rio Nuevo Board and the Tucson City Council? There have been representatives of the council and board meeting behind closed doors. Jeff Rogers, the chair of the Democratic Party, made a comment saying he thinks that public mediation is the answer, Bruce Ash.
Well, the whole nature of mediation is not a public one in this sense. And in fact, I think Mayor Rothschild stated on this station just a few days ago that they were at a critical point in the negotiations, that he was hopeful that a settlement might be at hand and that some solutions would be found to the current problems. And I doubt if making this sort of a process open to the public and to all of the special interest groups to weigh in on this would be a very smart thing to do.
What do you think, Paul?
Well, I'm a little bit torn on this. I don't disagree with some of the things that Bruce said, but we've been going through this for a very long time now. And I know Steve Kosicek, who's the Republican on the council, wants it more transparent so that people can understand what's been going on. This commission was formed by the state legislature to take away the power of dealing with Rio Nuevo from the city council, and they have all the power to deal with it now. And it was basically a political move by Republicans in Phoenix to put Republicans in charge. And all nine members are Republicans of this commission that were appointed by the governor and the leadership and the Republican leadership up in the legislature. And really, I think their marching orders was to basically embarrass the city for political reasons, because the city's controlled by a Democratic council. And now it's 2 years in, they have not done what they were told that they had to do, which was build a hotel and or renovate or rebuild a convention center, and they haven't made any moves at all in that regard. Instead, they spent $1 million on legal fees suing the city over what really was agreed to about a year and a half ago, but they were pulled back by the folks in Phoenix telling them don't do that because for political reasons.
Well, Governor Brewer, the Speaker of the House, and the President of the Senate had no such conversations directly or indirectly with the Chairman or any of the members of this board. It was never a part of their charge to embarrass the City of Tucson. The City of Tucson has had enough embarrassing moments over the past dozen years or so about Rio Nuevo and has frittered away over $200 million, and the district now finds themselves in the straits that they're in. There's an FBI investigation of the whole thing. You know, the very nature of Mr. Rogers on Arizona Illustrated the other night trying to make this into a political talking point and calling the members of the board cockroaches is beyond reproach.
He was making an analogy about shedding the light of day, and then the cockroaches run and scurry for cover. I don't necessarily.
Well, thanks for the clarification.
I don't necessarily adhere to that particular analogy, but I will say that it's extremely frustrating now, because I think the public doesn't understand that city has nothing to do with the decisions being made on Rio Nuevo anymore. It's owned by basically the Republicans in the legislature who appointed these Republicans on this commission to basically do nothing and spend our money on legal fees. And I think that's why Steve Kosicek and some of the other council members are starting to push for a little more transparency on what they're actually doing. In terms of because they have executive sessions, they don't post their minutes. They now are in this mediation process with the city over properties they claim should be in their control and not the city's. And it's all behind closed doors. At some point, people need to know in the public what's really going on. And we're spending money on legal fees rather than building a convention center. What's going on.
This is all a distraction. And once we hear back from the FBI, we'll know if there was wrongdoing or not in the past. I hope for everybody's sake there wasn't. And very soon, I believe, provided that both sides can deal the right way with one another, we'll have a resolution and we'll move forward with whatever Rio Nuevo is going to be or not be.
I hope you're right, Bruce.
And we'll talk more about that at 30 minutes past the hour. It's 12:13 on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Let's get Bruce and Paul to weigh in on the campaign that has been launched to seek to retain the 1 cent tax for education. This campaign was launched by Ann E. Peterson, president of the Arizona Education Parent Network, and kin to Paul Eckerstrom.
Yeah, she's my sister-in-law. Yes. Very smart person. Yes. And very dedicated parent. And I think this is going to pass if it gets on the ballot, and they got a short period here till July 5th to get the requisite signatures. So I encourage everybody to sign the petition to allow this to get on the ballot. All it is taking the 1 cent sales tax that was passed overwhelmingly near 70% in May of 2010 to basically what was proposed was it was going to help put with public education and public safety. In reality, there was no strings. There was no real language in there to make sure that happened. And frankly, some people were pretty upset that a lot of the money had been diverted to another tax cut in the next legislative session. for wealthy corporations and really super rich people. But this would actually extend that one-cent sales tax when it ends in the three-year period that it ends to earmark it specifically for public education, K-12, for universities and junior colleges, specifically to help kids go with scholarships. And it also has got a smaller component to help fund actual work projects for the Department of Transportation and put construction workers who are desperately in need of work in this state because of the housing market decline, to put them to work on rebuilding some of our roads and actually maybe additional projects since we are a growing state.
Bruce Ash, do you like this idea?
Well, here's the problem with the proposal as it stands today, and it'll probably receive the requisite number of signatures it needs to get on the ballot. But the problem with the proposition is very simple. It further handcuffs state government in terms of what they must spend the money on. And Paul can make the claims that the prior 1 cent sales tax went to diverting to an income tax cut and to help wealthy companies and so on. That's his standard talking point. The problem is that we hire lawmakers to go to Phoenix and represent us. This particular group of lawmakers faced a $3 billion deficit when they came into power, when Jan Brewer took over as governor. And what they've managed to do, and it was a hard job, and the Democrats really offered no suggestions on how to do it except raise taxes, which was unacceptable in the middle of a major recession. But there shouldn't be the kind of restrictions that this proposal places on the state legislature and the governor. And we see all kinds of problems in the past, whether it was clean elections or various health initiatives, education initiatives. It's sort of a good idea, but it always goes awry.
Paul, hold your thought. Let's take a break right here. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Let's hear now from the lineup of fine Buckmaster Show sponsors, people who believe in this program. Please support them. Thanks.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Well, 21 on this gorgeous day in southern Arizona. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Since 1985, this family organization has specialized in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls. They do picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. They do it all at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We like them at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash is with us and Paul Eckerstrom. We have been talking a little bit about Rio Nuevo, talking about a campaign launched to retain a 1 cent sales tax for education. And another education issue, volunteers have begun collecting signatures to recall TUSD board member Michael Hicks, Paul Eckerstrom.
Yeah, I think that comes from his vote to and his antagonism towards the Mexican American Studies program, and that's that he's not up for re-election this year. The two other people that voted not to appeal Superintendent Hupenthal's decision are Democrats. Mark Stegeman and Cuevas are up in November, so there's no reason to recall them. They'll probably have strong challenges in November. But Michael Hicks isn't up for re-election, so I think that's why this recall is starting to take place. Whether it's successful or not, we'll see. This is a separate issue that goes to very, very large majority of the people who are in TUSD, which is the Hispanic community. There's about 60% of the district's kids are Hispanic, and I think that's why you're seeing this. TUSD, in other regards, has been starting to pull out of its malaise because of the John Pettigone and the superintendent. But this issue kind of is there, and it's really unfortunate because I think we need to move on and get our educational system really humming in TUSD for the future of our economy in this town. But this is an important issue to the Hispanic community. And I don't think the Michael Hicks or Miguel Cuevas or Mark Stegeman really understood how important it was to them. And that's why they're facing what they're facing.
Bruce Ash, what do you think?
I disagree with Paul. The majority of the Hispanic community in Tucson does not think that Mexican-American studies is a valuable program. It was a small, small number of parents and students who participated in the program. And frankly, it has been promoted by some rather thuggish individuals. And if Manuel Ortega wishes to run for the school board in the fall, he's welcome to do so. But this is not going to gain any traction. And frankly, what Michael Hicks has done is worked with the new reform majority on the board. As you know, this is not a Republican or Democrat board, but these three reformers have been doing, I think, yeoman's work since the appointment of Dr. Sugiyama. One of the things that they've done is they've begun to challenge the notion of eighth grade promotion into high school, which is just, you know, whether kids have hit their achievement marks, whether kids deserve to be promoted or not, and they are upholding their responsibility as board members, I believe. They have also done much to take care of Prop 301 money, getting that into the school district, and reduced health care costs while not adversely affecting benefits for teachers. I think all of these are good things. These are the things that a reformed school board member needs to do. But when you have individuals like Mr. Morales and Mr. Ortega prowling the streets for blood, that's what you're going to have.
Prowling the streets for blood. You sound like they're some sort of predators. Listen, this is an important issue.
They're political predators.
This is why,
Paul,
this is such an important issue to the Hispanic community. One, that program was a successful program. Those kids went to college after going through that program. Two, it was a program that was targeted by the Republicans in Phoenix to make political hay out of basically race baiting, I believe, to get elected to governor or get elected to the attorney general, get elected to the superintendent's office so that they can further their political career by dividing our community. They are taking away local control from our area by making this ruling, and Huppenthal made this ruling in the face of his own study that said this program, after looking at it at the curriculum and in the classroom, this program did not violate the state law, and Huppenthal disregarded the facts. And so really, it's basically Phoenix pushing around Tucson again, as usual, and pushing around a specific part of our community that's very strong in our cultural heritage of the Hispanic community. I think it was dead wrong, and I think that's why the school board members that voted not to appeal this ruling is going to have political trouble in the future.
In this case, Paul, the Republican legislature and the superintendent of public education sought to remove a curriculum which featured textbooks such as Rethinking Columbus, Pedagogy of the Oppressed, Occupied America, Chicano, The History of Mexican Civil Rights Movement. That's probably a pretty good one. Message to Aslan, another unbelievably extremist book. 500 Years of Chicano History and Pictures. Oh, well, okay. That's probably okay. And the last one, Critical Race Theory.
So are we going to censor books now?
No. And in fact, I want to correct that as well, because all of these books are in the libraries of all the high schools across town, even though
you're
Mr.
saying
Morales,
they are available?
They're all available in the libraries. And in fact, they've never removed the teachers who are teaching these courses, and they continue without these books. They've continued to espouse the same philosophy and poison the same young minds.
You don't know that. You haven't even seen them teach.
I absolutely
Come
know
on.
That it's happening.
And the actual study that watched them teach, the study of an independent study, a consulting group that was hired by Huppenthal himself, said that that wasn't going on. And it was a program that didn't violate the law.
State law.
And it did not. It did not, according to the actual independent consultants that came in.
Well, the judge is the only
them.
One who gets to make that opinion, and he said that they violated law. That's why the program was discontinued.
An administrative judge. It should have gone to Superior Court.
So it makes
a
difference.
We will have
versus
Superintendent Pettacone on the Buckmaster Show on Friday. TUSD doing some good things, though?
Yeah. One of the problems every school district in the state has is its funding issues, and that's what the initiative is all about, to at least set a floor by which you couldn't go below per pupil spending. We're dead last in the country on that. But TUSD is starting to turn around some of its issues, which has been long in coming. And I don't disagree with Bruce. Some good things are happening. I'm glad of that because my daughter goes to Rincon High School, and I'm really hopeful that TUSD does well because it's the large majority of our kids go to school in TUSD in this community, and that is really important to have a good educated community so we can take advantage of high-tech industry and make sure they come here so we have good-paying jobs. It's totally tied to the economy. So this is an important issue that we fund our schools properly and our school districts then perform well.
It's certainly no accident that so many parents have decided to pull their children out of TUSD because they don't like the education that their children are getting or the quality of the education. And they put them into charter schools and they put them into private education. And they are going in that route. TUSD has been a failing school district for at least a couple of decades. And I want to give Sugiyama, Stegeman and Hicks a chance to succeed.
Let me tell you, one
quickly.
Thing is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Self-fulfilling prophecy. If you defund schools, public schools, then they're not going to do well, and then parents are going to try for other alternatives. This is what the Republican legislatures wanted to do all along.
Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash, thank you very much. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing since 1985, family-owned and family-run. Custom frame mirrors. They have art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's is at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at MoesGallery.com. That's going to do it for the Monday Political Face-Off. We have Jody Bain and Rick Grinnell waiting in the wings from the much maligned Rio Nuevo Board. We'll be getting their side of the story as we continue with Buckmaster.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Despite the mass killing of Afghan civilians over the weekend, allegedly carried out by a U.S. soldier, the Obama administration says the war strategy in Afghanistan remains intact. 16 civilians were killed, including women and children. A federal appeals court has overturned the 22-year sentence for the convicted Millennium bomber, calling it unreasonably lenient. If the Republican presidential nomination isn't wrapped up before the party's convention this summer, Rick Santorum is predicting that the nomination will be his, this even though Mitt Romney has a commanding lead in the race for delegates. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 50 points, the NASDAQ down 4, the S&P currently unchanged. More details at srnnews.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The Tucson City Council voted last week saying it's time to spend about $800,000 to replace the bleachers at the TCC because those bleachers have become a safety hazard. The city is currently embroiled in negotiations with the Rio Nuevo District Board. That board oversees the Rio Nuevo Multipurpose Facility District. The city and the board are trying to hammer out a number of issues, including the upkeep and maintenance on the TCC, to avoid having to go to court. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Judy Bain is with us. Judy is the chair of the Rio Nuevo Board, and Rick Grinnell is a longtime Tucson businessman and member of the board. Rick and Judy, good to see you.
Jody.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Good afternoon.
Howard, you have taken, Jody, a lot of hits, you and your colleagues on the board. Where do you begin to tell my listeners? Are you getting a bad rap, or how do you see it?
Well, it was pretty much summed up when I walked in here by my fellow board member, Rick Grinnell. He said, you know, contempt prior to investigation and the audits coming out serves no reasonable purpose. And, you know, you've got 10 years of history. We're trying to give the taxpayers what they asked for since we came on, which is an understanding and transparency. And tomorrow it's going to really begin in earnest to show some of the numbers and so that we can move on.
Tomorrow, what kind of numbers are you going to show us?
On the Depot Plaza block area downtown, the district had been asked to pay out an additional $1,500,000 plus. And the accounting and the lawyers couldn't make sense of why that was happening. And so instead of paying out what little left we have in the coffers, the decision was made to trigger a forensic examination. And the results of that are going to be coming out so that we can see, did we make the right determination? Is money supposed to come back to the district? Can the city go back and get some money that was misused or misallocated? So we can get on with things and try and create a relationship here.
And we're speaking with Jody Bain, the chair of the Rio Nuevo Board. Sorry, I screwed up your first name.
Incognito can be good.
I know it is, Jody. All right, Rick Grinnell.
Yes, sir.
We hear, and I heard it, interview after interview with council people that we've done on the show recently, that the board has never sat down with the Tucson City Council. Why is that? I mean, is there something that keeps the board from doing that? Some kind of a public meeting?
Well, let's step back here, Okay. Just if we may, just a little bit. I think, in all fairness to both sides of this particular debate, I think there's always been a desire to bring things to the center, and nothing against my colleague here, but attorneys sometimes have a tendency to inject certain realities into the business at hand. There are legal obligations, there's confidentiality issues, there's personnel issues, and there's some of these things, and now with Justice Lackett, he's even asked that the two bodies not come public yet. Now, I made the original motion to bring these public, and I was at the advisory council the request of the mayor, Mr. Slackett, Justice Slackett, that we not do that yet. And then Mr. Kozacik turns around and does it at mayor and council. And again, I think we're getting close here. And I wish we'd have, years ago, we'd have been able to come do this. But the reality is, there are some very legal situations that have to be addressed, and I'm not an attorney.
And Jody is. And Jody is. There some reason why the two sides can't get together publicly?
Well, first of all, I'm not acting as an attorney for the board. I'm just a volunteer board member in this capacity. But there has been some concerns shown that what would the agenda be if both bodies got together with about 20 folks? And, you know, the district at times and the city at times have asked the other party to do it, and it's a question of open meeting law, which of course has to be followed, but more importantly, what would be the one key subject matter? And I think at this point, potentially we're going to get to the one key announcement of a subject matter, which hopefully will deal with the TCC Convention Center, albeit there is not necessarily an obligation to go up and be a cleanup crew. But we're coming together anyway in good faith to say, let's try and make a step forward.
Are you urging patience?
I don't think I have any patience left. I have a lot of hope.
Are you urging patience and hope?
Yes.
Right, Bill, you've known me long enough. Patience was never my suit. But patience is part of the process that has to be engaged. The other part has to be the commitment, and I think whether the public realizes this or not, I think both bodies really do want to see a resolution here. The real question is, legally, what can Body A and Body B do? And I want to just touch on the TCC real quick. And I heard it in your previous discussions with Paul and Bruce. The board, by law, we can invest in capital improvements for the Tucson Convention Center. Our job is not to spend taxpayer money on the maintenance. That, by law, is in the contract with the TCC. It's a requirement of the city of Tucson.
So it's the city's responsibility legally to do that maintenance, and they should be doing that maintenance right now.
It's basically a commercial triple net lease.
Maintenance and repair.
And repairs.
Yeah, this is even more stringent, but at the same time.
And the city drew the contract.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of and the other part of this misrepresentation of information, that's why I say contempt prior to investigation fail serves no purpose. The city has been using Rio Nuevo bond money to do stuff at the TCC and other monies that came from Rio Nuevo. So the district itself has been investing.
And put in a lot of money, yes.
And the city's getting in some other grants to do some other things. So
you're saying the city is responsible at this very moment should be doing the TCC maintenance.
And
is that
repairs.
What I'm hearing?
That is under the contract.
And repair.
And
as part of their lease.
And the upkeep of the TCC. So why aren't they doing that in your opinions?
They have taken, and I'm sorry, Jody, but this is a little historical understanding
of
the city.
Give me a bottom line.
The city budget has been siphoning money off from various departments, including the $2 million approximately from the TCC over the last couple of years.
From the ticket tax, too, yeah.
From the ticket tax that they pay into, that you and I, when we buy a ticket at a TCC event, it goes $2 goes to those basically repairs and maintenance. And the city swept those in, much like the state had to do with certain funds to balance the budget, to try to come in with a legal budget. So economically speaking, it's been a real pain for everybody.
And Paul Eckerstrom brought up something, and we've talked about it before on this program. There is a feeling in the community among some that the board is out to embarrass the city of Tucson, that the board is basically, I think Paul Eckerstrom was saying this because the board are all Republicans, is out
actually,
to...
Actually, I don't think we all
well,
are.
But majority.
Yeah.
It's majority.
Sure.
To sabotage the city.
No. And in fairness to all the board members, we vehemently disagree on certain issues inside the boardroom. But we're not here to hurt anybody. Our ultimate goal is a financial responsibility to the taxpayers, the fiduciary responsibility to the state legislature and the taxpayers, and to ensure that the money that we use is spent legally. Period.
You know, I'm going to jump in here and say that I think one of the important things that maybe people don't remember is we are volunteers. So all the time that we do this...
You're not on anyone's payroll for this Rio Nuevo board.
I'm on my own time.
There you are.
And
that's what I mean. I mean, you're not being paid. There's no, you're not being issued a check, either of you or any of the board.
We pay for parking at the state building that we do our business in.
There's a certain number of parking spots, and we're trying to work it so we can get reimbursed. But, yeah, but, so, you know, I think what's going on here is the issues are complicated.
Yes.
None of us anticipated what we got into. I would also think that, to a certain extent, for 10 years of history, does the city, or am I personally, or my board members that I've worked with, trying to embarrass anybody? I would certainly hope not. I think there's a frustration level of accurate information. But, you know, more importantly is, what is the purpose of embarrassing the same place that we live in? I want to stay here. I came back here after going away for a while. You know, Tucson's very important. So if I'm going to embarrass the place that I am, it's just counterintuitive to me. But if that's the type of rhetoric that needs to come out to protect the folks that may or may not have done something wrong, that's why they're doing it.
Jody Bain is with us, chair of the Rio Nuevo Board, and Rick Grinnell, longtime Tucson businessman, member of the board. Rick and Jody, what's the message right now? And I want to get back to the TCC. Are both of you saying to the council right now, fix the TCC? Is that what I am hearing? Is that bottom line?
I think bottom line is we're coming together to do something for the first time together, and that's going to be putting some equal allocated money into the TCC. We're looking at doing the bathrooms, and the city's looking to do the bleachers. We're looking to do some of the bathrooms because we're not quite sure what the extent is between the various pieces that are owned by the district or the city. And we're hoping it comes to a real positive resolution here on this issue so we can move to the next.
Work together, you're saying, then, to fix the TCC.
Yep. We are having to work together as two of the larger stakeholders downtown, and we're going to probably be looking to bring in some of the key developers to try and assist with some type of a plan going forward.
And you say there'll be some financial statements released tomorrow?
A forensic audit is going to be released tomorrow late afternoon.
Okay. Will that open some people's eyes? That forensic audit will be released tomorrow, would you say?
I would think that it would demonstrate the areas in which some improvements need to be made all the way around and how some of the procedures work. But more importantly, does the district still have an outstanding obligation of $1.5 million, which would water down even more what the potential it has going forward for the community.
How frustrated are you, Rick Grinnell?
Personally?
Yeah, come on, let me hear it.
You know, I ran for office last year for a reason. It was to find resolve to many of the issues that face our community. I didn't get on here to tell people I told you so. I stayed on this board because it was important that we find solutions, period. And so what I temper my frustration with reality is, you know, it's sort of like doing surgery. And we found basically where the problem is. We have to continue to irrigate and sterilize the wound. And eventually we're going to sew this thing up and we're all going to heal and we're all going to move forward.
All right, we're going to have to go. Rick Grinnell and Jody Bain, thank you very much. Forensic audit will be released tomorrow. We appreciate your time. Thank you again, both of you, for being with us. The Buckmaster Show continues 12:46. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
$12.50 on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. Arizona merchandise exports increased 12% in 2011 compared to the previous year, growing from $16.6 billion to $17.5 billion. Arizona's 2011 merchandise export sales increased to many top destinations, including Japan, which is up 34%. Mexico is up 14%. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line is Roger Vogel. Mr. Vogel is the chairman, president, and CEO of Vante Incorporated of Tucson. Vante, a leader in medical device equipment manufacturing. Vante was named the 2011 Arizona Small Business Exporter of the Year by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the Arizona Small Business Association. Mr. Vogel, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your company and how it got started and what it has grown into.
Sure. The company's been in Tucson since 1974, so been here for quite a long time, and originally founded by Lauren Aker, who was an engineer and entrepreneur, and was very interested in the medical field, and began to get the company into medical devices early on, but particularly in blood banking. And in that process, he invented a radio frequency sealer, which is used to seal medical plastics, and that building block of technology has allowed us to grow over the years. We've expanded into biopharmaceutical equipment, as well as equipment that's used to make catheters. And today, those are our two primary lines.
And tell me about your workforce.
Sure. We have about 50 people. We're not extremely large. I would say about a third of them are engineers and technologists. We are fundamentally an engineering company in designing these products that go into medical manufacturing arenas. And then, of course, we have a good set of machinists here, as we do some very fine work and a small manufacturing footprint, as well as our sales team. So about 50 of us in total.
And your customers, are they all over the place?
Yeah, they're all over the world, and they're names that I think might be familiar to some: Boston Scientific, Johnson & Johnson, Coloplast, maybe it's just more familiar to those of us in the medical industry. But yes, they are all over the world. About 23% of our sales are outside of the United States, and the other 77% were domestic.
Well, congratulations on this Small Business Administration Exporter of the Year. That's got to be good news for you and for your company.
Yeah, we were really excited about it. Love to see that growth internationally. And, you know, we often hear about, you know, jobs moving overseas, and I think to some degree that's a fact of life these days. But our ability to sell to those folks allows us to grow our company here and to add some jobs as well. So it's a nice sort of back around for us to be able to do some business in other parts of the world.
Talk a little bit about the exporting business, the business climate here in Arizona.
Yeah. Actually, you know, we find exporting is not all that difficult. There's some good support from the Commerce Department here in Arizona. You'd be surprised. We can ship anywhere all around the world, even from our small location here in Tucson. So, and also it seems to be improving, at least certainly from our view of the world. We're seeing our demand begin to increase pretty significantly. It was slow for the last couple of years as we kind of fought our way through that recession. But I think companies are beginning to spend again. We're starting to see some capital dollars start to flow, and that's been very, very helpful to us.
You know, companies like yours, which really do an outstanding job, sort of fly under the radar screen, and the public doesn't hear much about them. I think it's important that we realize that exporting is a huge business here in Arizona. At the top of the interview, I mentioned that those numbers really increasing. Mexico up 14%, the United Kingdom up 20%, Malaysia 21%. Those are all potential customers, are they not, for Vante?
Oh, absolutely. I think last time I counted, we were shipping perhaps to 60 different countries, and we certainly do a lot of business just south of our border. I mean, certainly having the location of Tucson in relation to Mexico is very helpful to us. A lot of our customers have factories in Nogales or Reynosa or Tijuana or other areas just south of the border. And, of course, moving a lot of things into China these days, and we have a good footprint in Latin America as well. So, yes, we're all over the world, and we have a distribution network. We have an outstanding set of distributors in Asia and in Europe, and that help us make connections with those customers.
How about your price point for all the companies? I know with your existing, you've got a choice-focused line of catheter manufacturing products. Is pricing a problem?
It can be. It's interesting. We have traditionally been a very high-end manufacturer in terms of, if you think of us as a car company, we were just selling Lexuses. If you're looking at Toyota, we didn't sell Camrys or Corollas. And that's good in one sense, but it did lock us out of parts of the market when customers, you know, really didn't have that sophisticated of an application or they wanted to spend less money. We really didn't get a chance to play. So recently we've expanded our product set, and now we have price points that run from $12,000 for a system all the way up to $100,000 for a very large system with a suite of services associated with it. And that allows us to really touch everybody, and especially we think is going to give us a leg up in the developing countries where, you know, medical delivery to the middle class, such as in China and India, is improving. And those are great opportunities for us if we can provide a price-competitive product.
Speaking with Roger Vogel, he heads up Vante. That's V-A-N-T-E. What does the name mean, Roger?
It doesn't really mean anything. That's a good question. And we were originally called Zebra, and we sold a part of our business, the blood banking part of our business, to Haemonetics a few years ago, and they bought the brand because it was very popular. So we had to rebrand ourselves, and we chose Vante, and I think it's a slight derivation of Avante in Italian, meaning going forward, but largely it's, you know, when you brand something, you try to find a name that you're not going to collide with somebody else on. So that's how we ended up with it. And it's been very good for us.
And Vante has a new $1 million state-of-the-art machining center and mold shop at your headquarters in Tucson. So you put up some big bucks in the investment area, didn't you?
Yes, we did. In fact, the reason we did the sale of the blood instrument division was to redirect investment into the catheter and biopharmaceutical equipment spaces, and part of that was that $1 million investment. And we did that for a few reasons. One is our customers are continuing to push the envelope technologically, and the catheters that they're developing are getting more sophisticated and smaller, and we needed to make sure our machining capability kept up with that. It's also delivered some really nice cost improvements for us, which help us on the bottom line, and we've actually added some jobs as well with bringing that on. So it's been a good story all around.
Roger Vogel with Vante here in Tucson, Exporter, Small Business Exporter of the Year in Arizona. Congratulations on what you're doing with this small business in Tucson. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Roger Vogel with us on The Buckmaster Show. Support for The Buckmaster Show comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. The Buckmaster Show also brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. We strongly recommend Michael C. Flowers if you are looking for a certified public accountant, and many people are right about now with tax time upon us. That's going to do it for the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be back with you with another very jam-packed edition, the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show at 12 noon tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.